Blog Talk Radio.
One second, let me get the conference line in.
Welcome, and thank you for choosing FreeConference.com. You're helping people around the world communicate for free. Please enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign.
How do I do that?
Please re-enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign.
What is it?
Please re-enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. Please re-enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. Please re-enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. You exceeded number of attempts. Please contact customer service if you need assistance. Goodbye.
Oh, let's get it up on here. One second. Where's the volume at? You coming through? Put it up.
Yes, sir.
So we good over there? All right, all right, all right. Okay, thank you for that, brothers and sisters. Now let's bring in the call, 515-615-9327 to get in. Why are the commandments so important, and what do you think it would change if this was implemented overnight? We've tried it every other way, and the Gentiles have ravished our world, our community. First 1770 area code. Shalom.
Hello. Good evening, Elder.
Shalom, sister. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm blessed by the Almighty. It's good to hear from you. Why are the commandments so important, and what do you think it would change if it was implemented?
Well, the commandments are important because it was given to us. And it's the word of the Most High for us to follow, for us, our families, and our children. But what I think would change overnight is gay men competing with women. I think that would change overnight. I have a bunch of examples.
Just to say that again, she dropped a bomb right there. Lord, have mercy. She said, well, this would change immediately and we would be able to fix. Is there something going on in our community where gay men are competing with black women?
Yeah, women in general, but especially black women. And I can talk from experience from work. You'll have a gay co-worker. Girl, I don't know how you do it all day. I've been in these hills and I need to take them off my feet. How do you do it? And I'll give them the answer, even though it could be dangerous, and I'll tell them, well, I'm a woman. That's how I can do it. But that's just one example. But I wasn't going to call, but when I heard the lesson, that's what came to my mind. Gay men competing with women, because we deal with that all day.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what? Everyone is saying, yeah, this is true. Maybe I've been pulled out of the world so long that I didn't know something like this could exist, where a gay guy can come up to a woman and ask, how do you do it all day in those hills?
Yeah, all day.
I'm
if I look like you, I'll be a... Yeah. Yeah.
And what is...
That's just one example.
I mean, what's going on here? Sister, so a guy came up to you and said, I don't know how you do it in those heels all day. My feet is killing me. Well, probably because you wear a size 12. Shoot. You weren't made... You're supposed to have a pair of shacks on.
They compete all day. Who looks better in the skirt? And the gay men, some of the ones that I work with, some of them don't even wear pants, and they only wear skirts. Just some of them, especially in New York, the store I was in, they only wear skirts. And who looks better in it? They want to have a snatch waist. They compete heavily. So that was the first thing that came in my mind, and I had to call. I wasn't going to call. I just wanted to listen, but I wanted to say that because I didn't think nobody else would. But that's something that I deal with, and it's, utterly ridiculous. It's annoying.
I don't think I got to deal with this. Sister, thank you. I don't know where these calls are going. Sister, thank you. Good hearing from you. May the Most High be with you, okay? Man, she just blew it out of the water with that one. Place you on hold. I don't know. I don't know if we can top that one. I don't even know if the white women calling. I want to hear whether or not y'all have these conversations where Kat is coming up to you and asking you, you know why, though? I hate to say this, but the cock have come home to roost. I remember a time in the late 90s going into the year 2000s where every sister thought, not all, but some thought it was okay to have one of those as their friend. Well, they can give us the insight of how a man thinks. No, they can't. You wanted to have one to be in the know or to be, to be sleek like a new Fendi bag. Every girl needed a gay friend. So I'm going to tell you, folks, and that's why I put it out there, sisters, you have to realize how you've been tricked and used, because now they never had no real affection, righteous intentions for black sisters. They just needed your vote. And by getting your vote, they can now circumvent everything that really belonged to you to a degree in which they're coming to you now and saying, well, girl, I don't know how you do it in those hills, but I'm going to hit you with this also. And that's why I always go back here, sisters. Y'all need to go natural. Because with a lot of the synthetic stuff, this is how those dudes are trying to actually get masqueraded and pass for women. Because now they can go get them a lace front and all that, and even though, I'm just saying, they cannot do the natural thing. You go back natural and you leave them out there because they're trying to use these things so they can disguise themselves. Okay? I want to put that out there, but man, that's another thing. You know what? If we follow the Ten Commandments, there's no way any of these laws would have been voted in. Okay? Outside of our traditional values. Mm-hmm. We are believers in God. And the world don't know it because the constituency, we become a constituency that's been used by all the wrong types of people. They have aligned themselves with black people, triggering black people, claiming that everyone is racist, so that they can get the vote in order for their particular legislation to be passed. The letter people. Mm-hmm. If we had the Ten Commandments in place, there's no way there'll be some freak over a major city. But I digress. Next call. Thank you, sister. I don't know who can follow that one. 773 area code. She brought it tonight. 773, why are the Ten Commandments so important? And what would change if it was implemented? You lie.
Yeah, Elder, this is Brother Kara out of Dallas. The Ten Commandments are very important because, that's where we derive, our power through the Most High and righteousness. I think one of the things that would really change is the level of trust. I mean, they always talk about, Israel as a whole being unified and how we can't come together. If we had the same code of ethics, or, you know, following the Ten Commandments in the same way, then we would be unified in a number of areas. And I think one of those areas would be economic empowerment, because with trust, now we can trust each other. So the only way you can build together is through trust. And so if we're all on the same code, now we've increased that trust, and we can build a nation.
Brother, that's a good point you made. Economically, our economics would change overnight, because automatically we would only do business with people who are aligned with our interests, like the other nations. The other nations only do business with people who are aligned with their interests. But because we don't have a singular direction and a code and a God, we don't understand it. And I see so many people talking about it's about economics and reparations. And I don't mind. And listen, they should be paying something for what we did. But all in all, let me make this clear. How many billions of dollars circulate in our communities a day? So they're looking at it like, y'all have enough money that if we circulated money like that, we would already be out of this condition. But you don't have a code to direct those finances. Okay? They don't mind it circulating because they know it's coming right back to them, hands over fist. But, brother, what you're saying is deep. It would change our economics almost immediately. I said, and that's how you know socialism has really taken a hold of our people. I said this over in the UK years ago. I was at a meeting. I'm going to let you have the last word. I was at a meeting, and I was teaching. I'm like, listen, how much do you all get, boom, in what you would call social assistance? And I made an example. I'm like, I'm going to show you how deep this is and how we don't know how to actually use what we got to better our own condition. Socialism has taken a hold to a degree in which we believe that it's okay to sit and just wait for money to come. And I say, listen, the Chinese or the Arab person can come over here flat broke. I've been over the Middle East. They can come over here. They can come over to America and act like they always had it together. I know better. I know East Indians, where they live at, they don't even got a pot to pee in and a window to throw it out, but they'll come over to America and automatically think that they're more privileged than we are when they're no one in the country they're from. But they'll come over here with a work ethic to work with their God, praying to their gods against us, set up a store, and do what? Make enough money to where they'll be able to buy out the whole building and have what? Apartments and houses where they'll bring in their family to work. And then they got one store, then two stores, then three stores, then four stores. And guess what? Now their family is filthy rich and they're sending your children to college on our minority college fund. Because our people are being thrown in, our men are being thrown in jail. We're not. There's a lot of money for our education that's being filtered to these people. When all we have to do is, we got 10 people that's getting a welfare check or that's getting social assistance in the UK, you can put that together, a piece of that, and buy yourself a small business like a truck or a hot dog stand like they do. Still have that money coming, but take that and have your own business with the money that's coming, free money. And wean yourself off of that and have a business to show for it. You never thought that money together could do something? In the mindset of socialism, being socialized, you are programmed to believe that I don't have to do nothing with this. Why? Because it comes every month. Well, that's not the real world. The real world, money don't just come on a card and magically just appear on a card. It doesn't work that way. The reason why they're willing to do that is to keep you at a certain status, a low status, to keep the dysfunction going, to have access to your children to serve the next generation for their children. And I use that example, brother. Like, listen, we could take the money already given, but we don't trust each other. I'm glad you brought that out. We don't trust each other. But go on, you have the last word.
Yeah, I mean, I was also thinking about it from the perspective of, you know, a lot of times they always talk about when we do business, we do it poorly or poor quality. Well, I mean, we don't have any standards, you know, and if we held to a higher standard, which is the commandment, now you're in a position where you don't want to cheat your brother. You want them to trust you. So, yeah, that's all I had, Elder.
Well, thank you, brother. But you know what? I know what to expect when I go in to support my people. Okay. I know when I go into a Jamaican store and look at the menu, I know to ask them what they have, even though there's a menu in front of me, because they do not have what's on that menu. I know I will probably get attitude and everything else. I know that I won't get customer service with a smile and all that. I learned to expect that, but still, they are my people. So I go there, and they'll just write out. They get mad at me when I'm asking them what they have. Like, you know, I think that curry goat, well, we don't have that today. It's on the menu. We don't have that today. Well, let me get the oxtails. You got planters? No, we don't have no planters. You have beef patty? We only got one more, and that belongs to the guy that's in front of me. Listen, I learned that this is our people, but I support them anyway.
Mm.
But yes, what the brother's saying, right, let's get on code.
Right.
When we do set up a business, make sure we're customer service savvy. Understand that when someone is willing to give you their hard-earned money for a service, it must be appreciated. Gratitude goes a long way. That means upping our standards to a degree where I don't have to go into a store and expect bad service. And, you know, we shouldn't have to deal with that. I'm glad the brother brought it out, because I've seen, boom. I don't want to go there. That's another show. I'm going to let that be.
Question is, I wonder if the other tribes deal with that. It seems like mainly the Southern Kingdom tribes kind of deal with that.
What?
That thing you were just mentioning, the element of if we have a business, actually living up to a standard. Now, you have some of our people who are able to put business together and
take
good care of it and, you know, good customer service. But like we're mentioning, you do have those examples. But I don't think I experienced that. Maybe I haven't eaten from enough Mexican restaurants or, you know, some of the other tribes' restaurants.
Yeah.
I don't get that same thing from the Northern Kingdom tribe.
Yeah, when you go to a Spanish store, whatever's on the menu you can get.
Right, right.
But it's the Southern Kingdom, man. I'm going to tell you, I was in Leeds. We were teaching in Leeds.
Yeah.
And right. I had my mouth all fixed for some curry goat. My family, we all go in there, and I'm like, yo, I'm going to need me some curry goat. In Leeds, we were in Leeds, in England, and the guy said, huh, man, we only have fish heads.
Yeah, fish heads.
You have what? We only have fish heads. What do you mean you only have fish heads? You don't have no food? We only have fish heads. And I turned around and said, okay, this is a weak spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of here.
Now, someone said same with Hispanics. I'm not sure if that's one of the 10 tribes, but someone said it's the same with the Hispanics. Maybe it depends on what community you go into. I know sometimes our people, they button up a little bit when they're in other communities. But maybe it's the case. Maybe it's a plague of all 12 tribes.
Yeah. I knew it had to be in some undercover place where they probably distributed bricks or something, because you cannot keep a store going with only 3 fish heads left at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You got 3 fish heads and no food. I'm like, let me get out of here before something go wrong up in here. this is a scene waiting to happen. I'm like, don't ever take me to a place that only has fish heads.
Right.
And he's looking at me, his eyes is bloodshot red, not blinking. I'm like, man, listen, we have to get it together. Next call, 631 area code.
Yes, sir. Shalom, Elder.
Yes. Shalom.
Yes, Shalom, Elder.
And Shalom.
I'm sorry.
Shalom.
I'm sorry, sir. My name is Sister Jocelyn, and I'm in Long Island, New York. My residence is close to water, so I may have a little difficulty with the phone going in and out. Can you hear me, Elder?
Yes, I can hear you, Sister.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to try to be brief. Because I know there's a lot of folks waiting to talk. First time I ever got through. The first thing you would see if the commandments were kept would be order. Absolute order. Schizophrenia, which the Bible calls double-mindedness, and all other mental illnesses would end overnight. There wouldn't be any more warring spirits among us. Okay, so the inside would change, the outside would change, because you can't serve two masters. And I have worshipped with other nations, and I noticed they don't have a covenant. They have a code, like the Catholics have their catechism, and this one has this ritual and that ritual. But an actual, I think sometimes we give these cats too much credit, but an actual covenant, a code that will bring you in full alignment with your creator, they don't have that. We do. So when we become, I believe we would become totally aligned to the Most High. So the Most High can then tell the Holy Spirit to release the known information to her that is missing as to why we can't do such and such a thing with such and such a commandment. Think of like a tuning fork. I think that's what would happen to us, because I've had the experience. And that's it briefly, without getting personal.
Well, thank you, Sister. Hey, Sister, that's a great point. Great point, Sister.
Thank you for the time, Elder.
I mean, anytime, Sister. And thank you for your insight. Next call. What's the next one of the lawyer?
734.
734 area code. Why are the Ten Commandments so important? And what see would be immediately fixed if they were implemented in our communities? Your name and location?
Hello.
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 Yes, you're live.
Hi, Elder.
Yes, you're live.
I'm with the Detroit GFPC. I believe with what scripture says as, the commandments are very important. But I think what we tend to forget, I think Abel Pike kind of put it best with the Ten Commandments when you guys had did a lesson back in a few years ago, stating that if they would have gave the people of the world the commandments of God, the world would be in harmony. And I think when it comes to that point, we will learn to judge ourselves and deal with our emotionals and things based off of those commandments if it was given. I think that would have been a great deal if it was given in that statute, if Abel Pike can mention it and say the reason why we're not putting out there, if we did, the world would be in harmony and we couldn't keep the masses in confusion.
You're right. And it's deep that you mentioned Albert Pike. Is the fact that they had a system in place through morals and dogma where if they could have us compromise the law, they could take full advantage of us and capitalize off us through the do as thou wilt agenda. So we don't stand a chance. Yeah, we don't stand a chance. We don't have no direction, nothing. And now, keep in mind, we are people of order. The only way for us to actually accomplish anything is for us to actually fall in order with the Most High and have some level of organizational skills. These are the people in our community actually succeed. People like Kanye West and all that. But Kanye is a little different than the rest because he's tapped in.
Yes, okay. And I saw that with Cognac Rest, when he was with Nick Cannon talking about, I mean, I don't want to change the subject. Let me go back. Let you finish. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But you can bring up the point. But what I'm saying is, imagine a people of order in captivity for breaking the laws, because we are the people that were supposed to bring the order. And we're up against coming into our community with the do as thou wilt mindset. Without the knowledge of God and the Bible, we don't stand a chance.
When you go back into it, he says Yahweh is Satan. And we're not calling on our God, like you spoke earlier, of knowing who our God is. You know, it plays a big part.
Well, thank you, sister. Great point. I'm going to place you on hold. And this is what I'm saying. You have to realize the nations know that we're in captivity or have been brought low based on disobedience, because we are the people of order. The media goes through great lengths to actually portray us as the people of disorder. That's why you see the riots and all that, and really, it's really crazy white liberals and Satanists from pagan covens that are really doing all this. Mm-hmm. But they work to make it seem as if we're the unhinged, we're the disorderly. See, because we're really the people of order, but they try to portray us as the people of disorder. Keep in mind that what they're doing here through morals and dogma is saying, well, okay, since y'all have a line that y'all can't cross without being punished, if you don't follow that line, we'll rip you apart. Because why? We can play from any rule book, including yours. We can use good, evil, spells, everything is on the table. You have to understand that. So we don't stand a chance if we don't fall in order with the Almighty. We've been taken advantage of by who? The woman liberal movement. These are witches. Feminism. Feminist is an old craft, folks. It's an Amazon craft. From Amazon witches, who had the spirit of black widow to kill men. It's an old concept, a witchcraft concept. Feminism, the separation of families. This is the do it thou will. Free love, as far as not having a moral compass as far as sexual behavior goes. These are all weapons and vices against us. You put that law in place, it fixed, that fixed everything, brothers and sisters. Good point. 804 area code, right, Eloy? Let's go down the line. 804 area code.
Shalom.
Shalom, name and location.
Chanel, and I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, is your phone? I can't hear you that well. Something's going on. You're pretty low.
Okay. How about now?
Okay. Okay, speaking to your phone, do you have me on speaker or what?
No, I have you.
Okay, well, you have to project
your
voice, sister. I can be able to... Yes, I can hear you now. Speak at that decimal.
Okay. The Ten Commandments will, if kept, will create an actual community for us by restoring natural affection. It will mend our relationships within family, with neighbors, et cetera, and, of course, with the Most High.
Give me an example of that. Give me an example how you can implement a law and it would mend issues with family. Give me one example of that.
Okay, one is true, dear to my heart, is honoring your parents. Mine are both deceased, but while they were here, I cherished them. They were my examples, and I don't see that nowadays, and it disgusts me, and it just tears apart the fabric of our community in general when we don't honor our parents. A man's not going to honor his wife if he doesn't honor his mother, so on and so forth, you know, brothers and sisters at odds, not speaking, all of that. And it's been a part of my existence or my family life, you know, family divided, having to figure it out for yourself. It's difficult. not having that support, not having that love, you know, so on and so forth. So if natural affection is restored within our community, we will actually have a community. This is what I'm trying to say. Because let me stop saying cut. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. But
you don't have to be nervous. Just take your time.
I know, I just am. We can't really say we love the Most High or we love one another or we love ourselves if we're breaking any of the Ten Commandments, period.
Well, thank you. That's a great point. And I'm glad you got over your nerves. Right. I appreciate you. I will place you on hold. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You notice the first week we were going into the sisters and the things that we think the sisters need to self-examine to help the nation. Then we went into men, right, last week. Now we're going into breaking down the Ten Commandments so men and women of the Most High can implement this together. Be mindful if we're bearing false witnesses, don't even realize this is how we've been just conditioned to think that we can say anything and not be accountable. You know, understanding that what comes out of a man or woman defiles a man. How when something goes out, just like when in the beginning a word went out and all we see were created. That's the power of the tongue. So we're careful what we say. Okay? Okay? Life or death can come through the tongue. Okay? So, and careful in our communication. Honoring and respecting who we are in God's image. Implementing the commandments. Because I'm going to tell you the next level is, okay, next week we're going into it. How do we protect our children? Because what's being lost in all this? Now that they have gotten to man and woman, the children of Israel, and broken us apart, our children has become open game. And I'm talking about on every level. What I'm recognizing right now, it's possible because of what they've done to us, how they have socially totally destroyed our communities, how they've totally just decimated us, the family. It's making it possible for what they're about to do right now. I'm checking out in all the suburbs right now and what's going on in the suburbs. All of the suburbs communities are coming together in their town hall meeting, something that's unheard of in our community. We don't know what a town hall meeting is. We're so disconnected. We don't have town hall meetings, okay? But the rural and suburban communities have gotten together and say, well, we're going to now homeschool, continue homeschooling our children until we see how this COVID thing plays out. We don't want our children to be guinea pigs. So the to-do-good areas are continuing homeschooling. And what they're doing is all the targeted cities where the Black, Hispanic, and the poor, or what they call the underprivileged who are Israelites, that's who we are, go, they're looking to implement draconian laws implemented through the Sandy Hook laws they put in there to be able to lock down schools in a state of an emergency and then claim that children have COVID and make it where they can now separate the children altogether from their children. And it's only possible, they can only do what they can do now. What made it possible was them first separating the family. It's about to happen. They're going to claim COVID happened and lock down schools where you're not going to be able to get your child unless you acquiesce to a vaccine. If possible, hey, guess what? It's time to take that full position the Most High gave you as a parent and get your child together. Go to K-12, go online, get with your family, and guess what? Get with your family and close relatives and friends. If y'all can get together for all of socializing, y'all can get together and have a plan for y'all children where y'all can take turns making sure the schoolwork is administered to them correctly. And they can get their SATs every quarter. Go online and get your children out of that stuff. Another thing I'm going to say right now, especially if you live, and it's including people in our church also because we're making provisions, but you still got to make provisions for yourself. okay? If you're in one of these major cities where the rioting is going on, make sure you connect with a family member on the outside of the cities and negotiate a scenario in which you can actually go to them, okay, in the state of an emergency. You got to have a fail-safe plan if all fails. And don't wait for it to come to you. You plan these things in advance with family member on the outside of the cities you're in or your friends or whatever the case is. Have an alternative plan outside of these cities. Get with your family members, a friend, whatever the case is, and up past the election, you want to make sure you have an option almost immediately if you see a sign that they're going to lock down cities. Okay? And you don't want to be in the cities when it happens. Let me put that out there right now. The Bible tells us, even Christ told us, when you're persecuted in one city, flee in the next. It wasn't an immediate thing when 70 AD went down that we could just leave outside the country. There were scenarios in the catacombs, underground, where the churches were and all that. Sometimes it took years to get out of harm's way, months to get out of harm's way. But the disciples and others who believed in Christ and the prophecies that was written of in Daniel began to plan beforehand. They had alternatives beforehand. Don't let the world powers and what's going on dictate to you your future habitations, your future dwellings. You get in front of that, get in front of your children. Make plans now, especially if you're one of these major cities. All right, next call. 336 area code.
Shalom.
Shalom, you're
Shalom.
Live with the gathering. Name and location.
Shalom, elders. This is Brother Greg from Raleigh Body. So, a couple things I wanted to state with the Ten Commandments and why they're important is because for us being Israel, it empowers us and it also sets us apart from the other nations and how we operate. And it's a bill of morals. What I believe, what it would change, something I've seen in my What I believe would change something I've seen in my lifetime is the unspoken hate between black men. An example I have is I've been around different brothers and maybe someone had walked in or someone, you know, just entered the room, someone they never knew. And they would say things like, I don't know what it is about him, but I just don't like him. And you know, it makes you question, like, brother, why wouldn't you like this brother? You don't even know him. You haven't spoke with him. He hasn't caused an offense. And I believe that also leads to the other laws being broken, such as jealousy, murder, coveting. Because if you have especially when you have an unspoken hate, you'll do anything to kind of, you know, to show that person that you don't like them. I've seen that. And I think I honestly believe that a lot of the times is brothers who are just ill spirited. They may have a spirit on them, and when they see someone that has some form of light on them, that really what causes the unspoken hate. And it's a problem because if you like we're taught, you know, my elder out here, Elder Hannah, he's taught us over and over, you speak your offense. And as well as I've heard you and other lawyers say, you speak your offense and you make amends with your brother. But if you don't have an offense to even speak of and to fix it, then, you know, how could you ever fix it? And then that just caused more hate, more malice, and et cetera. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, brother. Great point. Let's go to the next one, 407 area code. I would never understand that, you know, our brothers, somebody walk in the room and be like, man, I don't like his vibe. Oh, man. You got doors creaking and anything here. Yeah, we have to be careful, right? We have to be careful the places we frequent. I wouldn't find myself in a place in which you would have the company of people who's mean mugging people saying, I don't like that guy that just walked in who don't know. There's certain environments where behavior like that, you know, festers. And we all know where those places are. That's a place you shouldn't be, where God's sitting, every time you look, he's looking around. I'm like, yeah, who just walked in? I don't like the way he looking, all that. You know them areas we shouldn't be in and be a part of. I mean, you have to know who not to associate with, too. The instigator, people who always, you have to be careful about people who's always, and we have this, always start in trouble, never content, something must always be wrong, complain all the time, and if there's nothing wrong, they're looking for something that's wrong. These are the people that you got to just stay away from. They're dangerous. Okay. That's why whenever if I talk to someone and every time I'm talking to them, it's negative, and I feel a weight on my spirit after speaking to them, I'm like, no, this, it ain't me. Every time I speak to this person, there's a weight on me. Okay. I can't do it. I got too much work to do. I can't feel heavy. It's a spirit. I try to stay away from any of that. Any negative, I try to stay away from it. It's an energy, okay? It's an energy. And we try to teach people and try to teach them to actually fix that, to fix that demeanor where everything you're looking at is from a negative perspective or a victim, you know, perspective. No, it's okay to just be happy. It's okay to just have a day where nothing is really wrong. Okay, I want to put that out there. Don't worry, be happy. I used to like that song. 323 area code. And people wonder, you're live. You're live. Talk to us.
I was just listening in. I don't know about the Ten Commandments and everything. You know, most of them aren't hard, but I think the biggest thing is, I mean, our people have always had an issue with following ordinance and following the Most High. It's not new. And maybe you guys can kind of expound more on when was a time when, you know, Israel was just kind of like, you know, unanimous underneath the law, statutes, and commandments.
Well, when you say it's hard, I don't understand, because the Bible tells us the law is ingredients. It's not hard.
No, it's not
grievous. To be a false. It's not
grievous.
Yeah,
no, it's not grievous.
It isn't. Yeah, it's not hard to follow at all.
That's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, all throughout the scriptures, Israel has always had an issue with following the laws, keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. There have always been prophets, you know, or sent, or a righteous king. But predominantly, we've always been in kind of this dilapidated state. There's nothing new, even with, you know, propaganda and TV before that.
Yeah, but let me break it down to you. You asked when did it happen where we've seen some similitude of a peaceful kingdom. Before the sin of Solomon, we had 40 years in this earth of peace. Solomon began
Correct.
To set up Bethel, temples to Satan to sacrifice children to Astaroth. When he broke that first commandment and other Israelites and the hierarchy of Israel followed that, that began the downfall that actually led to where we are right now. So it was that first commandment of breaking God's covenant when he says, have no other God before him or set up idols. Everything after that is residual effects. So after that, there was never a time where all of us as a nation worship God together in peace.
Right. Well, that's the point I'm trying to make.
The curse took hold. But the
yeah,
question
and I
is
think
now
it's few, right?
Yeah, but listen
What's
to listen to what I'm saying. Through Christ now, an opportunity is afforded for the remnant. And that leads us to a place of solution. What do we do to make solution for the remnant who would follow? And how do, and let's make an example of what we can fix or what would get fixed if we could implement the Ten Commandments.
I mean, I think that's a small community, right? Maybe a small community of, you know, like let's say all the elders part of the GLCC, right? Whatever small niche community that you guys are in, it's much easier to, you know, like you're a byproduct of your community. We've heard that, you know? So I think that's really what it is. So I think a lot of listeners that are listening in that are still in the world that don't have that daily community, it's a constant struggle because you have television, you have propaganda, you have friends, you have work, you have friends still in the world, you have family members that you're trying to bring over to the truth while you're still trying to battle your, you know, demons that you're daily battling with as well. So I think that's really the big issue is a lot of people, if you don't have that community, what is it? It takes a village to, you know, to raise a child. I think that's really a large part of the issue.
Well, I know what the issues are. We have issues. But let me drop this something here for you, brother. Christ says you have to take up your cross and bear it daily. There is no excuses. There is no excuse to finish. Okay, there won't be a community. That's why we're talking right now. I'm talking to what? Probably about 3,000 people. That's where it begins. I never look at the obstacle more so than the obstacle is what we make for ourselves because we were taught to view things from the obstacle first. All things are possible in Christ. So instead of me insinuating, punctuating, and highlighting the obstacle, Christ is letting us know that, no, there is no obstacle. We're the obstacle.
Absolutely. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
I totally agree. That's my situation. I'm my own, you know, the person in the mirror. Yeah, I'm my own worst enemy, you know. Absolutely, I totally agree with that. But I think that's what we need to constantly hammer home to the listeners, to the audience, because that's really what it is. At the end of the day, it's self-responsibility, right? Because there are a lot of Gentiles that aren't followers, right? They're not followers, but their life is, for the most part, pretty serene. They don't have any criminal history, criminal background. There aren't any family influxes or dilapidation going on in their families, right? For the most part, and why? It's because they're extremely responsible with their families, with their situation. That's how they were reared. But when it comes to the Israelite community of new, right, we've been so broken for so long. We don't have a catapult to stand on. We don't have any proper advisors to look to outside of you guys, to be quite frank. I really can't name anyone outside of, you know, the GLCC hierarchy that I would ascribe to, like, yeah, I want to be like that, brother. You understand what I'm saying? Outside of maybe some other well-spoken men that, you know, just sophisticated-wise or business-wise, I'd like to emulate that. But when it comes down to actually living a righteous life, it's you elders, to be quite frank.
But again, let's get back on. I'm with you. Why are the Ten Commandments so important? And what would change if it was implemented? What do you see would be changed?
Well, absolutely. Obviously, it's more so than just following the Ten Commandments by the letter of the law, right? We have to become truthful as individuals with our individual self first, because that's the reason why the Ten Commandments were drafted and constructed in the first place, right? But so that's why there are people that can follow the Ten Commandments, right? You know, kind of like they're following some sort of rule book or whatnot, even like you have the Constitution of the United States that stands as a blueprint of how to kind of live your life to make sure that issues are mitigated as much as possible. But the only way that anyone is possibly going to ever have real true change is that true change has to come from within. So So that's what it has to be. It's not just following the 10. It has to be that you're honest with yourself. You fess up to your sins. You want to truly change them. You're going to the Most High. You're going to a higher. You're going to, you understand what I'm saying? You're going to Yeshua, and then you're changing yourself. You're going to those friends that maybe you have caused, you know, any type of strife. You fix that situation, and then you deal with yourself every single day like you're preparing for a marathon and practicing for it. That's what it has to be. And I think a lot of people simply are not doing that.
Well, thank you, brother. Let's go to the next call. I'm with you. Thank you for that.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Why are the Ten Commandments important? And what do you see would change if it was implemented? Let's go. 501 area code. First of all, we would do away with that conscious community. Lord have mercy. The unconscious community. I call them cats, the Baron Roberts. What's next? You're live.
Hello?
Shalom, you're live with the Gathering of Christ Church.
Hello, Elder. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Name, location.
Okay. This is Brother Edward calling from Arkansas. I'm not trying to get too elaborate, but to answer those two questions, it was more for me. The way I see it is, the answer is two. It's two answers. It's yes. It's going to be life and life. Because I mean, they're both going to bring us life. And being that Christ, that's what Christ came to offer us, was life and to have it more abundantly. He coincides with the law. And if we accept, if we want life, then that's how we're going to accept this thing. Accepting Christ first, which is life, and walking in the commandments, which is life, and having life. Having it more abundantly, but men don't seem to want that, you know, and we, you know, I witness it every day.
Well, when you say, okay, you're speaking in generalizations here, right?
Yeah.
What's having life in life? Give me some examples. Why are the Ten Commandments important, and what would immediately change if it was implemented that you can do? One thing I can see clearly is, one thing is, walking in the communities or any community where our people reside, there wouldn't be trash all over the place.
Yeah. I had to kick some trash off of my curb yesterday because
what I'm saying is there's nothing for everyone on the block to go to Home Depot and get a trash can.
Yeah.
But because we're so torn down, and here it is, that's why I don't want to hear no crap about some Democrat party about what the white man doing, the race. Listen.
Yeah.
These cities, these dilapidated cities we're living in, that's destroyed right now, are primarily run since its inception by the Democrat Party, which actually started the KKK. The KKK could have did it any better. These particular communities would have been a dream for the KKK. All the money that we've put resources and voting and all this stuff for Democrats, here's the product. You go to North Philly and there's trash thrown everywhere and no one knows it exists. So what can you tell me about a race, about a cop shooting somebody? When look at where we live at.
I'm a witness.
Exactly, our community shows the broken people. So the reason why I want to bring up the Ten Commandments because it's time to stop looking at the white man as the problem, and it's time to stop looking for the white man, looking at the white man to solve the problem.
Exactly. And can I add something, though, Elder Vaughn?
I'm going to let you add, but with the law, statutes, and commandments of the Almighty, our eyes will be open to our communities. We'll see the dilapidated state we're in and the communities we live in. We'll see the state of our children. And guess what? What I'm saying doesn't take a year to fix. Everyone with an apartment or a house can go to a hardware store or up the street to a Walmart or someone else, someplace else, and get trash cans and clean up their neighborhood today, and it'll be clean.
Understood.
But our people don't know that we've been turned unclean. The law is clean. But go ahead, you have the last word.
Yes, it is. I heard you mention with the Democrats being, you know, in charge of most of, you know, our conditions. Well, you know, them being, you know, since we mostly vote Democrat. But what I wanted to say regarding that was that during this next election, to my understanding, you know,
Brother, you got to snap it up. You're dragging a little bit. I got these calls.
Okay.
That's why I jumped in.
Well,
snap it up. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, we really have to watch it come this next election, because I know that things are going to be a hot mess, pretty much. And
well,
Elder, if I may, can I have you to call me offline, won't you?
Okay, I'll get your number and I'll talk to you offline, no problem. Oh yeah, the keg is about to blow. You know why? Because our people have awoken. And they know no way on God's green earth is our people going to support this crap anymore. And a bird cannot fly without both of its wings. And there's no belief in the Democrats anymore. We've seen what the Democrats have to offer, and they've been found lacking. Everything that they stand for is money for trans, what they call that, transgender type of stuff, and all the money, huh? Trans rights and LGBT and feminists and Black Lives Matter and going against cisgender, anarchy, socialism. We see that we've been conned, and they know that we're not, that Black people ain't dealing with it no more. So what they're going to do is, because they'll never get any, why don't y'all mail in ballots? Give us a mail in ballot. Like, listen, we don't want to do nothing. Leave us alone. They know nobody's going to come out. Because if Barack Obama couldn't do it, you can forget about it. So now they're going to try to blow the whole thing up because Black people not participating, which was shown in the last electoral cycle, is telling them that what? The children of Israel has awakened, and we don't believe in Babylon anymore. Okay? If you're not showing us anything tangible, you can't get nothing from us, because anybody else that go out there to vote for you, you make promises and actually fulfill those promises for those particular people. Okay? And it's only, and we're 80% of the vote. 80% of the vote when it comes to who we Black vote for. Okay? And what is this showing? And people are going to say, well, what you for Trump? Nah. Like I said before, I'm for nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You can't ask someone for something and not give anything. No, we don't want abortion rights. We're tired of killing our children. 1,000 Black babies are killed every day in this country through abortion. But you want to make me believe that a common cold is the real issue right now. No, we're not rolling like that no more. Child mortality, that's the problem. Early infant death. No, why are you targeting the children? Why do you care about infant death? You don't care about infant death if 1,000 children are killed by Planned Parenthood every day. No. You're targeting the sister's womb. You want to hit them with these medicines and all this other stuff, so, and these polio vaccines and all this other crazy stuff, because you know it's sterile agents in that stuff. It's going to stop the women from having babies. Okay? And guess what? With the law, Ten Commandments, it brings us back to our God who warned us of these things. Because the same God will say, well, listen, you cannot put anything unclean in your body. If you put anything unclean in your body and defile your temple, you shall be destroyed, which means you'll die early. So you can't go to the healthcare system to administer or to get anything shot into your bloodstream that defiles your temple. It's against your God. So know the Ten Commandments now. You begin to follow the other rules to protect you and your children. See, you don't depend on the system anymore. You render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and you render unto God what's God's. Okay? This is how you deal with Caesar. Caesar is our modern-day Pharaoh. Okay? When we were about to exit Egypt, we understood it was our work that built Egypt. So what happened? Pharaoh and all the other houses in Egypt would break things off so we'll be okay. That was tangible before we left. That wasn't a promise to do something. No. You don't got a promise to do anything. Anytime out of nowhere where a disease can pop up out of nowhere where no one expected, and then you get all these trillions of dollars passed without any election cycle, without anybody being voted in, trillions of dollars were given to these states under COVID. So if you really care about our people, just like Pharaoh did, not no welfare check, no none of that. Guess what you have to do? And guess what? It's still not saying that they're gonna, you know, be down with you. Our people are not hearing anything but tangible. We're the children of Israel. And we're not taking promises anymore. We're going after a promise. The promises of Abraham. Anything less than that is uncivilized. And guess what? A politician can't give that to us. So we render unto Caesar what Caesar's and render under God what is God's. Okay? We don't belong to Caesar. We're the children of Israel. All due respect. Yes, we have to live in this world and respect others in this world. But guess what? Nah. I'm going to tell you right now, folks. Something has changed in our people for the positive. And that's why I'm bringing these things out and each week dropping caveats, dropping certain things that we can implement one piece at a time until we're whole. Until we're whole as a people. Because why? We can't put everything on everyone all at once and expect change. See? And that's what's positive about these particular broadcasts. If you can take one thing from it and implement it, it makes us one step closer to our goal. And our goal is beyond America. It's beyond these countries who've always destroyed us. Our goal is Zion. And we'll get there. So that's why I want to talk about these Ten Commandments, because these Ten Commandments are simple, but if we were to really implement this and not have the community do it, there'll be an instant change with everything from everyone around us. There's a phylactery, right? That I used to have in Southampton when I lived in Southampton years back, when I first came back to Philadelphia. And I'm going to tell you right now, the phylactery, it so happened, it had Ten Commandments and it had Deuteronomy 6 and 4 as a reminder at the door when I went into the door. Remember that? It's a little phylactery where you can read the commandments. And it says, in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, it says, make sure you remind your children of the law. and have the law at our doorposts. I'm going to see what we can do to try to make us some Ten Commandments to make sure, even if you got to write it out for yourself, so that your children can see that Ten Commandments in front of your doorposts every day as a reminder of the code that they will live by going forward, administered to them by their parents. That's what God commanded. He didn't just command our forefathers. He commanded us to make sure that we remind our children of these ten. And I'm going to do everything I can to work with the teams we have here in administration to make sure that we are reminded of that ten and we teach that ten to our children as a reminder to break the curse altogether. Okay, no more talking about how we can do it. It's about putting Christ's word and the book into action. All right? Next call, Elder Lawyer.
All right, let's go to 561.
561, we're going to take a few more, and then we're going to go over to the conference call. Shalom.
Shalom, elders.
Shalom.
Can you hear me?
Why are the Ten Commandments important? Talk to us.
Okay, this is Brother Harold from the Florida body.
Okay.
Ten Commandments.
You're live.
The Ten Commandments are a roadmap to stay on the straight and narrow. Ten Commandments also, keeping the Ten Commandments shows your love for the Most High, because you can't just say you love the Most High without keeping His commandments. Now, as far as what I would do or what we could do to implement the Ten Commandments in our communities, I would say everyone of like mind should get together and clean up the community. There will be no drug dealing going on in the community. Anybody knows a drug dealer, we first go to that drug dealer and say, hey, you either straighten up or you got to go one way or the other, whether it's by the police or whatever, because they come up with these codes, no snitching and all of this and that. And that's a problem in the community, because you're pretty much aiding the wrongdoing of these drug dealers and criminals doing all these criminal activities, like with the child molesters in the families and stuff like that. We can't have any of that going on in our communities if we're going to come together and do right with these Ten Commandments. So we would implement all of these laws, clean up our streets, clean up our neighborhoods, and start living the way we used to live when we came out of Egypt, keeping the laws, staying clean, make sure we're clean, and make sure everybody's doing right within the community. That way we won't have anybody. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do. The sinners of the Gentiles are going to do what they're going to do. That's what they were made to do. They were awakened to do to us. But we have to look inwardly, because had it not been for our ancestors doing wrong and going against the law, statutes, and commandments and worshiping and serving other gods, then we wouldn't be in this predicament we're in right now. So that's all I got to say, Elder. I love you, God. I love what you're doing. And Shalom.
Shalom. I'll tell you what, I would like to believe that I don't believe a lot of these drug dealers want to do what they're doing. I think society and the dysfunction has created that environment. And I believe that the approach would be implementing the commandments, keeping family together and raising children, because if there's no customers, there's no product. As long as there's dysfunction, there'll always be a need within our communities for an escape. right? So it's like we're trying to solve the problem at the end of the curse, right? Instead of dealing from the root of the curse, okay? I believe that if the commandments are instilled, because it's about supply and demand. That's what capitalism is. In order for you to sell any product, there must be a demand for it. Dysfunction drives that demand, in which drug dealers, to some degree, if you ask certain people, are needed. Okay? For whatever escape from the dysfunction. So if we fix the dysfunction through the Ten Commandments, you dry up the market. You dry up the market. See? And then on top of that, when you set up the commandments, because the commandments is also making it where we only do business with those who has our interests, like I mentioned earlier. So now, if we're circulating finances based on that new code, there's alternatives outside of selling drugs to financially grandize our people. They can now aspire to be something other than a drug dealer to take care of their families. So it's systemic. But the root of the curse is disobedience and breaking God's law. We get that piece together, and everything else falls like a domino. See? I wanted to put that out there. What's next? 229?
Mm-hmm.
229, is that me?
Yes,
Shalom. Shalom, Elder Attar, Elder Lawyer. I am enjoying the program. This is Betty. I'm calling from Cuthbert, Georgia. And hey. I believe that when the commandments are implemented, that we would have no need for prisons. Because most of our men, Issachar and Judah, are in there. So our men would be put back into circulation and take their stand, right, for the families, right? So I think that would be one of the biggest changes other than,
benefit,
you know.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest benefits, greatest benefits, absolutely.
Right. So, and that's 50% at least. 50% of change for our neighborhood, because we need our men, you know.
Yeah.
We need our men. But that's what I wanted to say. And Shalom, Barakatah, and always good. I love the programs. Love what you're doing. And I need to talk to you too one day offline, but not right now.
Well, no problem.
Another day.
Let me have your name again.
You're breaking. Betty from Cuthbert, Georgia. My name?
Betty from Georgia. Put a number down. Yeah, we'll call you. I'll call you.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Shalom.
That's another Shalom. Like she's mentioned, through disobedience, the nations have taken advantage of our people, imprisoning our men through the industrial prison complex. Because under the law, you can't put us in prison like that. Some of that is worse than death itself, to be used only to be just thrown out later with all your families. Your family have forgotten you. Your children have grown to resent you. And there's nothing left to come out to. Sometimes prison is worse than death. It wasn't like that. Let me tell you, the way it was is there was judgment, automatic judgment that kept order. The other thing is, if you were to do something wrong to a person, there were laws implemented following that God, and which you would indemnify. That means restore the people who were hurt. That means if you stole from someone, there was a law on how to restore back with interest, with more. If you killed somebody, there was judgment. And if there was any finances to help a person, a family who lost a husband, well, that family had to now indemnify or pay that family according to God's law in the Bible. Not the government getting paid by employing free workers who are criminal. That means the state benefits from the criminality, while the family who suffered damages still suffers. That's unjust. So yes, if we follow our God according to those laws, there will be no prison, because the justice is making sure that you pay the people you hurt. Okay? You don't go to jail in the prison and now become a slave for the system and embolden the same system that have oppressed your community financially with the slave labor. It doesn't make any sense. So the prison complex will be destroyed immediately if we implemented the Ten Commandments. Next call, and then after that, what's the last one here?
All right, we're going to go to 407.
407, and then we'll take the next 15 with 15 to 20 with the conference call, and we'll end it there, okay? We want to break down early tonight. 407.
Shalom.
Shalom.
This is Sister Nita from Atlanta Body, and I believe that the Ten Commandments, if we all just went ahead and started following it, it's our first sign of obedience to the Most High. So it's like us entering into that covenant. And once we start to follow the commandments, then, well, this is what happened to me on my journey. Like, for me, following the commandments, it called me to obedience in other areas in my life. And so my brother and I, my blood brother, had a conversation. And he was like, why do I need to do religion? And thought, well, I know that we're not a religion, but I don't believe in religion. I'm a good person. Isn't that enough? Well, I said, well, because we grew up in the Christian church, I told him, well, you know that there's a God, right? This world is too orderly. Like, life is too precious. You watch your three children come into the world. You know that there's something that created us outside of us, right? He goes, yeah. I'm like, well, how do you know if you are living up to his standards? Because you can't just be by your own self, because you're just human. You make flaws. You can't go by your own standards. I was like, the commandments is our standard based on the Most High. He can't just put us on earth and say, do as you will. We have to have a level of standard. And by following that, that's our first sign to the Most High that we're ready and willing and able to serve.
Now, let me ask this question, sister. How does that standard, if that standard was implemented in our communities, what would be one thing you would highlight possibly change within our?
Well, for me, coming into the truth, following the commandments, I was called to be prayerful. By following the commandments, then I tapped into my purpose of prayer. And so I don't know if you remember me, but I was there in Atlanta for Dear Job, and I work in the hospitals. And so the Most High called me to be on the prayer line with Deacon Tarawa. And so I was afraid. I would always get attacked spiritually whenever I get ready to pray in the morning. But I've been doing it consistently, and people would just walk up to me at work and ask me to pray for them. So I took that as a sign from the Most High I'm supposed to be praying. So today, I walked out of the, I went to my job on my day off to go talk to one of my patients, and we read the Bible, we read scriptures together, and she was like in tears crying that she was just so happy that I actually followed through and came up there and prayed with her. And walking out of the hospital, like, one of the doctors said exactly what elders were saying on the blog talk, and she just came up to me and started telling me, like, she was like, why we got to wear these masks and stuff. So I told her, I told her to listen. Yeah, I told her to listen in. Yep. Yes, Elder.
We got to put you. A lot going on here. Hold tight. Yeah. Hold on real quick. All right. As we're going real quick. We need some interaction here, but it's beautiful. Hold tight. We're going to go to the conference call. One moment. And see, sister, stay in prayer. That's another thing. Yeah. Hold tight. All right. Boom. We go to the next call here. That was it?
That was it, yep.
All right, let's go to the conference call real quick. Let's go there. That's it?
Yes, sir.
All right, you can put in a number here. No, you can just, matter of fact, just, I'll do it over here. Yeah.